and welcome to the live webinar, Norwood and BIC Graphic Calendars Made Easy, sponsored by Norwood and BIC Graphic North America and presented by Promo Marketing. I'm Nicole Stella, Group Vice President at Promo Marketing, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, and you can send them in to us at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on the console do and how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss everything you need to know about how to sell Norwood calendars is Dustin Wicks, National Account Manager at Norwood BIC Graphic. Since joining Norwood in 2007, Dustin has served as an account manager for the Chicago and Wisconsin markets, developing successful publishing programs to maximize brand awareness through time-released marketing. So I'm going to hand it off to you, Dustin. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nicole. Today, everybody, I'm excited today. We have a somewhat new presentation, and what we're going to discuss right here in the midst of calendar season in October is we're going to discuss selling calendars, but selling calendars made easy. Everybody's familiar with the KISS mentality in marketing. That's kind of what we're focusing on here today, is trying to make the whole calendar sale a little bit easier for us as the salespeople, but also for the customer. You know, we want to try to make it easy for the customer to understand what the benefits of calendar advertising are here in 2012, the reason to use calendars, and the different ways that they can utilize that advertising vehicle to carry their message. Like Nicole stated, my name is Dustin Wicks. I'm with Norwood BIC Graphic and been on the publishing side for about five, six years, and going to discuss a little bit some of the experiences, some of the case histories, but like I said, mostly what makes it easy selling calendars both on the distributor side and then what makes it easy for the customer and trying to get that kind of sales pitch across to the customer. But first, one of the most important aspects, at least as far as I'm concerned, of selling calendars is the profit side of it. Now, everybody I'm sure on this call has heard the old adage of calendar advertising, how it's an annuity sale. And I use that, but at the same time, you kind of want to discuss what an annuity sale really means. What annuity is that sale that repeats over the course of a year or, in the calendar case, over the course of multiple years. Now, believe it or not, for years and years and years on the calendar sales, our average order has repeated for 8 years. In fact, 85% of the orders that we receive repeat on average for 8 years. Now, as a salesperson, I love talking about these numbers, especially as a calendar salesperson. What this tells me is I know next year 85% of my calendar orders are going to repeat. So what do I have to do to show increase? I have to sell 16% new business to show an increase next year, 101%. And as a salesperson, I want to show increases every year. So I know, and I know I'm not fooling anybody when I say that it would be great for everybody to only sell calendars, but using calendars as a foundation for sales makes a lot of sense because you can count on average, 85% of those orders repeating for 8 years. And I like to tell a lot of stories about different programs that have gone on for multiple years, for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Actually, just 2 days ago, earlier this week on Monday, I spoke to a person that has had a calendar program for 57 years. 57 years, next year will be the 58th. This program has gone on every single year, not always increasing in quantity, it's kind of all over the place, but on average, or over the course of those 57 years, on average, it's actually increased 8%. So you look at these calendar programs that have gone on for many, many years, and a lot of times have increased year over year. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that first year sale, which happens to be the most difficult of those 8 years, but again, talking about the annuity, it's that fact on average that orders going to repeat 85% of the time for 8 years. Now, if we look at the other thing that I like to talk about with distributors is really looking at our industry as a whole. Now, the calendar industry, I'm going to talk here in just a couple of seconds, as a whole industry, but if we take that down just to the promotional products and then we look at where calendars fall in the overall spectrum of our industry, we're looking at the fourth largest category. And this is one of the big misconceptions I always like talking about is the size, you know, the size of the calendar marketplace. The fact that it's the fourth largest behind wearables, writing instruments, and bags in our industry gives you some sort of idea of the overall size of our market, the overall size just in the promotional products industry. And the reason I like talking about this or showing this, take this kind of as a blueprint, guys, and use this over your own business. And a lot of people, when I say that, they say, oh, that's great. The calendars don't even show up in my top 10, much less 4. Don't look at it as a negative. It's a positive. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, okay, are these my top 4? And if they're not, where do I fall off a little? You know, where doesn't it fit exactly right? And then we can start looking at those different opportunities that probably already exist within your current customer base and try to lift that category, most likely calendars, up to that fourth position. But as I mentioned, we're going to talk real quick about the industry as a whole. Now, if we look at the promotional products calendar industry, one of the things that I bring up quite often, again, depending on the customer, depending on the market, is the larger companies that continue to do calendar programs. You know that example that I use, that 57 years? That company happens to be a Fortune 100 company. It's a huge company. It happens to be a public company. The reason I like bringing that up, even to the smaller shops, the smaller mom and pops, because that's the core of our calendar business, a lot of the rural different shops, but bringing that up, it kind of opens their eyes and says, okay, if this multinational Fortune 100 company that's public continues to do this calendar program, continues to go in front of the board, continues to get budget for the calendar program, there has to be something to it. So sometimes using those case histories, it's not going to complete the sale, but it's a step in the process just to show them, just to kind of reinstitute, you know, the value of that calendar advertising, because you're talking about some of the largest corporations. And the reason I like bringing up, even with the mediums of small businesses, they can't always compete with a large company. You know, they can't do the Super Bowl ads. They can't do the different advertising campaigns. They can do calendars, though. And guess what? That company uses calendar advertising just like the smaller companies are going to. Also brought up the calendar industry as a whole. Believe it or not, this is another misconception that I like bringing up a lot. It's almost actually a $5.8 billion industry that's dated products. Not just our industry, obviously, promotional products. I'm talking about calendars, dated products as a whole is almost a $6 billion market. The reason I like bringing that up is let's think about how much of that market we actually have right now. There's huge opportunity in calendars, and a lot of that's retail, but we can branch over to that retail market to grab some of that market share as well. Now, going back to annuity, and I know sometimes I spend too much time on this aspect, but it kind of it's exciting to see it put in different ways on how these profits can grow year over year. Now, remember back, I said 85% of the orders repeat on average for 8 years. So if we look at, and this is all based on about a 250-piece order, which is about the normal or the average order size for calendars. If we look at a 250-piece order, on average, that's going to bring first-year profit of about $320. Okay, so that's first year. Now, if we extrapolate that over the course of 8 years, because remember, 85% of the time repeats for 8 years, we're looking at $2,560 profit from that initial sale. And I say that initial sale because it's a repeat, because it's that annuity value of calendars. If we look at that, remember we brought up that 20 years. So if we look at that over the course of 20 years, we're looking at $6,400. Now, for those of you keeping track at home, remember I keep talking about this 57-year program. 57 years, if this program was only 250 calendars, which it's not, it's more than 250, but if it was 250 calendars, 57-year profit, $18,240. That's from that initial sale of 250 calendars. Now, I always say I try to make it easy or sound easy. I know that, but the first year is the most difficult. Every year after that, I talked to this gentleman, this 57-year program. He says he makes one phone call a year. One phone call a year to his contact and says, hey, do you want to do the same quantity or do you want to up it this year? That's it, and then he's done. So that first year, getting in the door, most difficult, but on average, going to repeat 8 years, 85% of the time. Now, one of the other things that we kind of worked on over the past 12 to 18 months are looking at the top 5 reasons why people use calendars. And you guys, for those of you that are familiar with Norwood and now Norwood and Vic Graphics, you're probably familiar with the different advertising, the different things that we put out there to show, you know, why people are using calendars. But we want to do it, we want to update it for now, for 2012. I'm going to talk about the objections that are out there. I know they're out there. I hear them. I go on end user calls with distributors. I know the, you know, does anybody use calendars with the electronics that we have? Those kind of objections are out there. They're real, and we're going to talk about it. But what we wanted to do was kind of revamp these top five to match what we're hearing in the marketplace, to match why customers really are using calendars in 2012 and going forward. The top reason that came back is the return on investment. I'm going to spend some more time on that, really dissecting what we mean by ROI as it applies to calendars. But really the main benefit for your customer to use calendars is that return on investment. And during the sales pitch, during the sales process, it's one of the first things to discuss. It's an eye-opener. People don't realize what the return on investment. They just see a calendar. They see that nice-looking barns or nice-looking landscape calendar. They don't see beyond that. They don't see what it actually brings to their marketing message. Also, you guys see that middle number, that 3.12. This is important. For a long time, the average number of calendars was right around 3.6. You've probably seen some 3.8 numbers out there, right around that. So people always ask, okay, what's been the effect? What's been the effect of electronics and the younger market and these type of things? There has been an effect. You can see it. I'm not going to hide from it. It's been gone down about 0.5. That's significant. It's half a calendar. It's still over three calendars in every household in the nation. That's an enormous market. Remember that $5.8 billion figure. Over three calendars per household in the nation still is a huge market for us to go after. Now, this last one, this is really talking about recall. Probably the most important thing and the reason why we're all here having this discussion today in our industry is recall. It's one of the things that sets us apart as an industry is really the value, our return on the investment, but the recall value of promotional products. And with calendars, it's no different. Calendars, it's actually a little bit better just because of our length of view and the fact that it's put out in public consumption. But when we're looking at calendars, 74% of the recipients of calendars can name the advertiser and can name the message of that calendar. Okay, so what that means is basically that recall value. It's a little bit return on investment, but we're talking about 3/4 of the people that receive a calendar can name not only where they got it, but they can name that the message. They can name the message that that calendar was trying to carry, that was carrying off into that target market. The last two, first I'm going to throw, you guys will see I'm kind of numbers happy. We like talking about different statistics. I'm going to throw a lot of different numbers at you just to kind of give you an idea of where calendars stand right now. Again, all updated right now in 2012. But if we look at that first kind of, I guess, bullet of this slide, this one's important because we wanted to find out how people are using and where they're using calendars right now. And the statistic that came back was 75% of all households are depending on a kitchen calendar for use. And really what we mean by dependent, it's kind of seen, just as kitchens are seen, as that hub of the house. The hub of the house contains that place where that family is keeping their event schedule, and it just so happens that they're doing on the calendar. So with this, where this becomes very important is really for those calendar programs, those B2C, you know, the business-to-consumer calendar programs, those businesses that really want to be remembered as in the home and to their individual consumers, that's where they want to focus is in the kitchen. That's where these statistics came back from. Obviously, they're having, you know, 3.12 calendars. There's going to be calendars in other parts of the home, but it's dependent upon that hub of the house type of mentality and in the kitchen. We're going to talk about that a little more in depth here in a couple seconds. And then the last statistic, probably no surprise to any of us out there, especially in sales, but that 98% of people look at a calendar every day. When we say 98% of people look at a calendar, we mean a paper calendar. Okay, so 98% of people look at some sort of paper calendar, whether it be a planner, whether it be a large span-year calendar or an appointment calendar, 98% of people look at a calendar every single day. Now, one of the other things that I speak a lot about with calendars and probably the top question that I get is, you know, Dustin, it sounds all well and good. You know, calendars aren't the fourth largest segment of my own business, but where do I find the customers? And one of the best parts about that, if it isn't the fourth largest category within your own business, the fact is you already have the market. All of us already have our customer base. And if those customers, if about 8 out of 10 of those customers aren't purchasing calendars from you, you got an opportunity right there with your customers. It's not only about banging on doors and boots on the street, which obviously that's important for all of us being in sales. But the nice part about calendars, if it's not the fourth, and where I brought up the fact that it's an opportunity, we have the opportunity right there. We already have the current customer base. It's just about breaking out of that typecast. And, you know, in this industry, it's very easy for us to get a typecast. You know, we sell pens today. Guess what? We're the pen guy. They don't realize that we do thousands of other products. And this is a perfect opportunity to kind of branch out and show that we're able to do something a little bit different than maybe what they thought, you know, was the only thing that we provided. And we're going to, like I said, talk about that in a second too. My favorite slides from our presentations that we've done in the past and in the current is really showing the account penetration. This kind of branches off of what we just talked about with the idea of that current customer base. What I like about calendars, and you'll hear me say that probably too much, but one of the reasons that I like calendars, but the calendar sales process, is it gives us the opportunity to dig within our current customer base. And what I mean by that, even if those customers that are currently doing a calendar program, and let's say they're perfectly happy with it, but it's a sales and marketing tool, there's still opportunity within that customer, even if it's 10 people, even if it's 10,000, there's still opportunity there within the different departments. Human resources, the operations, the corporate. I'll tell you guys, one of the biggest trends, one of the biggest increases we've seen, an area that we didn't really think about this time maybe 5-6 years ago, is safety. Safety has been enormous over the past few years because people are looking at that as kind of a cost center within a company, and if they devote more resources to it, they can lower that cost, that safety cost. So really what calendars are able to do is carry that safety message over the course of 365 days. You know, maybe January they do lockout, tag out. February they do ladder safety. You know, March is a different. It's a way to kind of portray that message, but it's internal. You know, it has nothing to do with marketing their products and selling their product. It's just about helping them lower the cost and make a safer place to work through calendar advertising. So sometimes we have to break away our own thoughts, you know, of what calendars are able to do, and try to find these new and, you know, more unique ways to utilize calendar advertising within the company or external. And this is actually one of the new things that we put together. Probably right after, I wish I just had the market, or who do I sell into, is, okay, well, what are the top markets? And we've always, I don't know if they avoided that question, but the truth of the matter is there's really almost every industry out there does calendars, utilizes calendars in some way. But we said, okay, we need to find at least the top 10 industries, the top 10 industries that use calendars, not only as a sales and marketing tool, but use calendars and calendars programs. So what you're seeing here is those top 10. Now, you can probably imagine, I'm not going to say which one, but you can probably imagine there's been some fluctuation over the past few years with the housing crisis and financials and those kind of things. So there's been some movement, but overall, these remain the top 10 industries for calendars. One of the aspects, and this kind of goes back to the what's in it for your customers. So what we just talked about, you know, the annuity value, the like I was talking about, the 85% for 8 years, those kind of things, that's really the benefit brought to us as the salespeople selling calendars. We also wanted to talk about what's the value, and along with those top five reasons, what's the value for the customer. And we come back to this, guys. We've tried to come up with new and unique ways, and there are different ways to utilize calendars and new and unique ways to utilize calendar programs. But this is really the tested and true reason to use calendars, is really because of the value of bringing a marketing message and bringing it in a public way, a public format like a calendar. Now, we compare it a lot of times to business cards, you know, the who you are, the how you can be reached, and the what you do. But also, think of a calendar as a business card, but also a billboard. Really, that's what it is. It's taking a business card, timing it by, you know, 50, and then throwing it up just like a billboard for public view. The difference between a calendar and a billboard is a calendar is more you guys have heard, I'm sure, the shotgun versus rifle effect of marketing. The billboard is really the shotgun. You're putting it up there, and you're hoping that people are going to see it as they zoom by. With a calendar, it's the rifle. You're going straight after that current customer, that prospective customer. And what I really, one of the real benefits of calendars, it's not only that person that you're going after, it's like-minded people. What I mean by that, think about if you're going to business to consumer. Okay, so now you're giving out the calendar. It has the contact information on the calendar. That person's going to go home, hopefully set that right up in their kitchen, on the front of the refrigerator, or wherever they put it. Now you're going to get the value of that person, you know, the direct person that received the calendar, but also his family, his friends, his like-minded people are going to see that calendar, are going to see that message as well. Same thing with business to business, B2B. If you go and you give that customer the calendar he uses in the office, still like-minded people, colleagues, coworkers are going to see that marketing message. That's the real value of the calendar advertising. Now, if we go back to what we talked about as far as recall retention, this was a study actually done not by Norwood BIC, but it was done by Market Tools on behalf of PPAI. And the study really talked about memorization or recall, memory recall is what we like to refer to it as. If we look at a calendar, on average, a calendar is looked at 10 times per day by the owner. And really, I get a lot of sneers when I say that because the salespeople is probably more like 20, but we're going to use 10 times per day on average across the board. Now, we all know that a message that's heard multiple times a day is typically memorized. I know there's a lot of studies out there that say 7, the magic number. If you write it 7 times, you'll remember. But whatever it is, we know if it's several times, it's typically memorized. And at the end of 30 days, the mind actually retains 90% of that message. So we look at 30 days, the mind retains 90%. If we extrapolate that across now times 12, you know, 365 days, about times 12, the mind's going to retain that times those 365. So it's going to be greater, much, much greater than 90%. And this is where that statistics of that almost three-quarters of all recipients remember the marketing message and the calendar. That's really one of the major points, major aspects of calendars. That's why they continue to do as well as they do in 2012, is because there's value there. There's a lot of value there. When you're giving out something that, we're going to talk about this in a second too, but when you're giving out something that costs, you know, $3 roughly, whatever it might be, and you're saying that the recall value is such that three-quarters of the recipients are going to know and remember that marketing message, there's a lot of value there. Now, if we look at more numbers, I'll keep it simple, though, because remember that's kind of the theme. But with these numbers, we're really talking about cost per impression. Cost per impression, it's kind of made popular. I'm sure everybody out there has heard this now at least once. But it's made popular really by cost per click. You know, Google AdWords kind of helped with that. So now what a lot of these marketing people and marketing folks are looking to do is take that same type of mentality, that cost per click mentality, and take it across all their areas of the marketing mix. It sounds great. It doesn't always work quite that clean, but what's nice about it for with our industry is it really does. We're talking about impression. It's not click, it's impression. What is the cost per impression on that product that they're going to put out there at the trade show or that they're going to hand out at that event? We're talking about calendars. We use the average cost at a quantity of 250 calendars is about $3.20. Okay, about $3.20, a quantity of 250. I keep using the quantity of 250. That's our average. That's the average calendar order size. Now, if we look at the average calendar, or sorry, the average person looks at a calendar 10 times per day times 365, we're looking at 3,650 impressions per year. Now, we take that and divide that out, 320 divided by 3,650, we get 9/10,000ths of a penny per impression. The reason I bring that up, guys, I've used this in different distributor end-user meetings, and I've said, what if we, you know, what would you say if we showed you a product that could, or that cost 9/10,000ths of a penny per impression? I literally got someone to laugh out loud and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. But it gives us the opportunity to start the conversation. That's what I'm looking for as a salesperson. Give me something that I can start the conversation and show you. This type of number, it's real. It's real stuff. But it also gives us the opportunity to tell them how we came up with this and, more importantly, tell them the product that brings that kind of cost per impression. So top question that I get, already brought up a couple of them, that we get as calendar salespeople is, how do I start? You know, that first year sale, I kind of brought it up. It's one of the toughest sales. It gets easier, but one of the toughest initial sales. There's really no secret pill, but if there was a magic question, this would be it, guys. It sounds ridiculously simple. It's because it is. If there's one question that I've heard time and time again work and start the process, it's, hey, by the way, have you ordered your calendars yet for next year? Okay, hey, by the way, have you ordered your calendars yet? I always like throwing in there next year, just because if I'm talking to someone in January and February, sometimes I'll get Snickers and, what, are you crazy? I just gave them out. But that's okay. It starts the process, and I get an answer. Also, a lot of salespeople always come right back to me and say, are you kidding? That's a closed-ended question. It's going to end right there. It is. It's a closed-ended question. Typically, we don't want to ask them. But with this one, you're going to get an answer. It might be a laugh, or it might be kind of a weird look, or whatever the case might be, but you're going to get an answer. Whether it's yes or no, ultimately yes or no, either one, guys, is a buying signal. That's why this question works. The first one is yes, right? So we ask, hey, by the way, let's say this is at the end of one of our sales presentations. We've gone through lots of different products, things that are going to work for their program. And at the end, we say, oh, by the way, have you ordered your calendars yet for next year? They come back and say, well, yeah, actually, we have. You know, October, we typically order in September, whatever the case might be. Don't look at that as a negative. Don't say, okay, well, you know, I tried. Say, excellent. I'm really, you know, I'm happy to hear that you've been calendar advertising. I'd love to get an idea of what you guys have done and see if I can make some additional suggestions. You know, maybe not changing, because a lot of times people don't want to change. They've done that Barnes or that Landscapes calendar, whatever the case might be. They've done it for years. They might not want to change that. But we can talk about the distribution method. We can talk about who they're going after, their target, and try to suggest something maybe a little different. Maybe it's just, you know, adding an insert page to that calendar they've done for years to show all the different locations of that credit union or whatever it might be. We can add some value to that program they've been doing. What's important about this is they're already sold on calendars. That's already done. We don't have to come up with the different statistics and the different reasons and the recall and all that good stuff with calendars. They're already sold into it. We just have to do a little bit better than what they've done. Now, the other answer I can come back is no. This can come back a lot of different ways. I've seen it, I think, every way. But it can come back a lot of different ways. They can ultimately say, no, you know, we've never really thought about calendars. Well, this opens the door a little bit wider, because now we have an opportunity, even here October 10th, we have an opportunity to sell in calendars. But now we have to use the different statistics, the different recall, the different studies that have been done. And maybe they're not into all that. Maybe they just want, they're more creative. You've got to appeal to that side. You guys know your customers. There's different ways to approach that as a salesperson. But what this does, it breaks down that door, and a lot of times, worst case, now they know you do calendars. You know, they might say, yeah, you know, we thought about it a couple times, but those custom calendars, it just takes too long. We can never get our stuff together. That's okay. At least now they know you do calendars, and we can start helping them go through the process and try to make it easier for them. Now, after we do that initial question, I don't want to say it's a magic question, but that initial question to kind of break down the door and say, hey, we do calendars. There's five more, and you guys will see kind of a running theme. We try to keep everything to three to five, just, again, to make it simple. There's five questions that really help us as salespeople find out how they're going to use this thing, how they're going to use this calendar program, and where it's going to go and who it's going to go to. Really, it all kind of relates to distribution. Okay, so if they come back and they say from that question, they say, no, you know, we never really thought about calendars. Why would you have in mind? Now what we want to find out is who the calendar could be distributed to. You know, kind of what they use currently, not as far as calendars, but what they use currently as far as their marketing pieces, their marketing mix, the different campaigns that they do. So the who will it be distributed to is really, I always relate it back to kind of like a co-op program. That co-op program can be come down from the parent company down to the outlets, and maybe it stops there. Maybe the parent company just wants to advertise to the outlets to keep their products in front of those salespeople, to keep, you know, the different value that they provide to that outlet, and they don't want it to go further. Maybe they want to target the end user, the ultimate consumer, but they want to do so through that outlet. So in that case, the calendar program would not be targeted towards the outlet. It would be targeted towards the end user, It just happens to be distributed through the outlet. So there's a lot of different answers to that first question, who the piece will be distributed to, that will help us as salespeople be able to put together a campaign that's going to work for them. The second one, I substitute purpose for goal. So what's the goal? What is the goal of the calendar campaign? What are they doing right now that we see the calendar is going to add to, is going to maybe even differentiate or add something additional to? So we want to find out what their overall marketing goals are. And this, everybody out there, all of us do this already. We just have to find out how calendars are going to aid in that goal. And remember, it can be external, that sales and marketing. It could be internal through a safety program. It could be HR program. I know I won't tell a whole bunch of stories, but I know at Norwood a couple of years ago, we had a whole change in our HR benefits. So we changed everything. And we've always done a custom calendar. And we were getting the number of calls in our HR department was increasing dramatically with pretty easy questions. You know, just what's the website? You know, who's the carrier now? It was a pretty simple question. So we wanted to take those top questions and put them on a calendar and put them on the calendar we've been doing and use it as a resource. Well, these different HR firms, the benefit firms, found out, or we told them, what we were doing, and they offset the cost of the calendar. So here we are, Norwood Publishing, producing calendars, but we didn't have to pay for the calendar we're producing for our internal employees because we were open and we wanted to find out what's valuable to these HR firms and what they would want to put on the calendar as a reference point. So really what we want to do, and that all relates back to the goal. You know, what's the goal of the calendar? Next is the where. Where the calendar is going to be used. This kind of goes back to that kitchen idea. It's very different. Every customer is very different with who they want to target and where they want to target at. So, for instance, giving another example, we do a calendar program, not huge, but we do a calendar program for kind of a milk, ice cream, and food delivery company. Now, they for years have wanted to really attract and be a part of the refrigerator in the kitchen. So they wanted to do a calendar with a magnet to make sure that they stay on the refrigerator, obviously, because then they can see when they're low on something, have the contact information right there, make the phone call, and schedule the delivery. Well, lately, over the past couple of years, they've really been building their website, and they want people now to order through their website, and they've, you know, increased the percentage of orders on the website X amount every single year. So now, in addition to that magnetized calendar, they want to do something that hangs out around the computer. So in that case, they want to do a little desk 10 calendar that still has the promotions and everything on it, but now it sits next to the computer as opposed to just on the refrigerator. So that where is really, really important and can help us try to come up with a different or a unique calendar that's going to serve that purpose and make sure that it's attracting people in the home or in the office where that organization wants them to be attracted to. The fourth, the when, this is pretty self-explanatory, but we do a lot with academics. So in that case, obviously, they're going to do an academic calendar. It's not going to be a January through December. Also, I keep going back to that safety example, but a lot of companies are doing internal calendars, whether it be safety or HR or what have you, but they'll team it up or they'll marry it to their fiscal year. And then on the fiscal year calendar, they'll put the different paydays or the different holidays. So that calendar is not a January through December. It's married to their fiscal year, and that distribution can happen at any point, you know, dependent upon that fiscal year. And then the last one, distribution. You'll see, like I said, a lot of these are related to distribution, but this last one is how the distribution is being done, and that's currently for their current marketing, you know, if they do a co-op program or how they're marketing to their ultimate consumer, and then try to find how calendars will work within that distribution. So, again, going back to the co-op example, if that parent company wants to target that end user, it could be as simple as the parent company going through the outlet to the end user or the parent company going straight to the end user. Or another example, we do a calendar program for a grocery store chain. And in this case, the grocery store chain has multiple outlets. They all give out calendars, but the parent company determines how many calendars each outlet gets by their total sales. And then the outlets give out calendars for every customer that spends over $100 at their store. So there's a very specific and kind of adds to the logistics behind the calendar program, but there's a very specific target that they're going after. They're going after consumers, current customers, so trying to build that customer retention, but only current customers that spend that are high volume type customers. So they want to go after a very specific market and spend the money to get the return back from that retention on those consumers. And it's all been built really behind that last bullet, the how the distribution is being done. Being with Norwood BIC, I'd be remiss if I didn't speak real quick, just on a couple of things that we provide. Obviously, we try to do a lot more general education sessions around calendars. Like I said, and I kind of spoke to a couple of the objections, but there's different things going on this year. There'll be different things going on next year, whether it be political, financial, so on and so forth. And it all does affect the calendar market. So we try to stay on top of that and try to broadcast those type of messages to the industry. But at the same time, we also have a lot more specific items, but specific value adds, including, you know, being produced in Sleepy Time, Minnesota, and then through our network of field salespeople that are all out there to help you guys and to work through the process to try to make it easy. And then very last is a quiz. I'm not going to tell everybody to submit answers on the quiz, but I wanted to at least give you or show you this slide. Really what it does is focus, and you can see that the five again, it's the top five takeaways from this presentation. So I'll leave that up there, and I think it's loading right now, but I'll leave that up there for a second just so you can take a look at those top five questions, those top five takeaways that we really want people to take away from this presentation. Keep in mind, this is a little bit shorter presentation, but it's really built to give a couple of those statistics and reasons why people are using calendars, but try to also make it easy for people, for you as salespeople and then the customer as using calendar advertising. And it really all starts with that very, very simple question. Have you ordered your calendars yet for next year? That really breaks away that typecast. It breaks away a lot of different views that customer might have, and it opens the door for questions. You know, being salespeople, it'd be easy if we weren't dealt objections on a daily basis. So this gives them the opportunity to start saying, hey, I didn't even realize people still use calendars. You know, why do they? Now we can start showing them, telling them that return on investment, that message recall, all the reasons why calendars are still used. Granted, it just has to be a little bit more creative depending on their distribution method and the ultimate goal that they want to achieve with that calendar program. So with all that, I think we have some time for some questions and answers, so I'll turn it over to you, Nicole.
Thanks, Dustin. That was fantastic and chock full lots of information. We do have some questions, and one, you know, you were talking about objections, and we had one distributor ask the question of the economy as an objection. Do you have any ideas of ways to sort of help distributors work through the objection of the economy has been so bad and folks are not renewing, even if they're 25-year customers?
Awesome question. Yeah, actually, I'll tell you a real quick story. We had a calendar program that had gone on for, it was 33 years. It was going to be the 33rd year. And they decided not to do it. And it was really hard. I actually went to the end user meeting and we talked to them. And before I sat down, they said, listen, to do this calendar program for another year, we're going to have to lay off 13 people. And I just looked at it and I was like, I can't, and that's what people are up against. I mean, that's the truth of it. But before I sat down, I looked at him and said, it just happened to be a company that works with a lot of vendors and suppliers. And I said, well, have we really exhausted the different avenues for co-branding? I mean, surely there's a lot of vendors and suppliers that would love to be part of this program. And then we started talking and, you know, how some of the costs could be offset by those vendors, by those suppliers who also want different avenues of marketing but can't afford to maybe do their own marketing campaign. So getting very creative, and that's what I like about calendars, it allows you a little bit more freedom to get creative instead of saying, yeah, you're right, you don't have it in the budget, it's not going to work. We can find something, different ways to offset some of that cost. And then also, I always turn back to that return on the investment. I know there's companies that I've talked to a few times where they say, well, what are you talking about investment? I have zero money in the marketing budget. And that's presents a whole different kind of circumstance, and then you got to talk about that co-branding idea. But the fact is, a lot of these companies, I won't bring up the Thomas Jefferson quote, but a lot of these companies aren't giving up on marketing. You know, they're still marketing. We just have to give them reason to take some of that marketing budget and apply it to something that's going to give them a return. And it might be dealing with a younger marketing person that doesn't see the value of a paper calendar. So we have to overcome quite a bit to actually show them how it's going to work and give them that return. Maybe it's putting a QR code, you know, where they're going to scan, everybody can scan it for their chance to win a free T-shirt, but now they can measure it based on the number of web hits all brought from that paper calendar. So we just have to think outside the box, dependent upon our target and then ultimately our customer's target to make it work. But the economy, I mean, it's real, and we're in the midst of it. We just have to get a little more creative.
Sure. And so integrating print with technology is possible then with through things like QR codes, and are you seeing an uptick in that type of usage?
Yeah, huge. And it's another one I could talk about for a while, but I have mixed feelings on quick response. I think it works great on some products, if not so much on others. What we have going for us on the calendars is that public view, public consumption marketing piece. So anybody that walks by and says that, hey, scan here for your chance to win a free T-shirt, now we have the ability to capture that, and maybe they put in their, you know, their contact information and submit it back to the website, and now it's measurable. So it goes back to that return on investment, but also being measurable, measuring clicks, measuring how many people, and then measuring the contact listing in that case of how many people are hitting that quick response code.
Right. And we have a distributor who is wondering if, you know, those benefits, calendar benefits, do you have a list of those that would be available to distributors who wanted to sell products, Norwood calendars?
There's one thing I have, guys. It's statistics. So, yeah, no problem. We have a lot on the Norwood website, on the login side of Norwood.com. If you don't have a login, feel free to shoot an email to info@Norwood.com, and we can get you a login. But a lot of this information, including the presentations themselves, are on the login side that you can just download as PowerPoint, and then also we have PDFs and different brochures with the statistics on them, too.
Great. And there's one distributor who asked the question, I have a client that is an investment advisor, and you probably see this type of thing with banking and financials and real estate. He's asked for help and ways to recommend what promotional products might help him grow his business. He works for a national firm, but he also wants to promote himself. So not just the firm, but also his personal skills and skill set. Do you have any ideas or ways to do that?
There's, with that, actually, the investment advisors and law firms have been two that we've struggled with in years past. They've also been two of the biggest trends over the past 2 years of increases. I don't have a whole lot of explanation for that, but I can tell one of the things that we've done before is to, and I'll kind of relate it to this, is to cross-brand a calendar. And cross-brand, I usually mean, like, take a company like Kohler, who doesn't want to just be known as a typecast thing, doesn't want to just be known as faucets, toilets. They want to make sure people know them as, you know, tubs and everything else that they do for a construction industry. So they'll do a calendar with 12 different lines. I'd take that same type of idea and apply it to something like this, where you still have the message, the overlying message of the promoting the company, but at the same time cross-brand yourself and the different testimonials that you have as an individual, as an investment banker, and then incorporate that back into the calendar. So they can carry a lot of different messages in that same piece. That's kind of what's nice about calendar advertising.
Sure. And then when you were talking about some of the statistics in terms of, you know, 98% of folks out there look at a calendar every day, is that solely a print calendar? Does that include electronic calendars, your, you know, watch calendars, all those different types of, or is that just print calendars?
That's paper. Yeah, I think it'd be 100% if it was everything. But yeah, that's paper. And keep in mind, guys, it's not just they look at their calendars. That's where I always come back to that public consumption type of marketing piece, like a billboard, because if you're walking into an office, I can almost guarantee you you'll see a calendar. It doesn't matter what office. It can be Microsoft or Google. I'll still tell you you'll see a paper calendar. So seeing a calendar, it's 98% see a calendar each day.
Okay. And does Norwood BitGraphic offer a self-promo calendar that addresses promotional products or something that a distributor could actually use and get for their own businesses?
You know, we have. We don't have anything as a stock product because we found that every distributor kind of wants to manipulate it a little bit on their own. But we do digital custom calendars, which you can do all the way down to a minimum quantity of 50, so you don't have to do a whole bunch. And then we have some almost looks like catalog pages if you want to promote the different lines, or it's up to you if you want to promote, you know, apparel and those different things in the calendar. But I'm a huge believer. If you believe in calendars, you might as well use it for yourself. So huge believer in self-promotions, and we do a lot to try to make it easy and affordable to do different self-promotions.
And you had talked about a little bit about, you know, the top four promotional product categories and calendars being number four. Are there ways that you can say, you know, that you can, I guess, sort of tout the value of a calendar above apparel, above bags, above some of those other product lines that are ahead of the calendar category?
I'll get in trouble by my colleague, but yeah. The thing about the calendars, and I always kind of go back to this, and I'll get in trouble by other people at Norwood and Vic too, but it's not something that's going to go into a drawer. It's not something that's going to be worn once a week. It's not something that's going to be, you know, accessed and utilized every so often. It's up there all the time. So whether that person that received the calendar, whether it's the neighbor in the next cubicle, whether it's, you know, the mom and dad that come over for a glass of wine, whatever it is, that calendar is there. That calendar is there, and they're going to see the calendar. They're going to see the marketing message. And a lot of times, too, this kind of goes back to the other question that we had, the first one with the economy and losing some of these long-run programs. Keep in mind, it's not our customers that always want to do the calendar. It sounds bad, but it's not always our customers that want to do the calendars. They see the value in it. But at the same time, it's their customers that want the calendar. So if that credit union stops doing the calendar after 57 years or whatever, 58 years, if they stop doing it, they're going to hear it from their customers. And sometimes they're going to hear it from their customer's mom who saw the calendar, and their customer said, yeah, I got this at down the street at the local, you know, whatever, ABC credit union. So now they're going to drive those sales back up through. That's really where that annuity comes from, guys. It's the push versus the pull sale. We have to push it initially, but after that, we're pulling that sale back up through the channel because it's their customers that are going to be asking for it, and then we're just there to answer the phone and say, hey, do you want to do the same quantity or do you want to up it this year? And one of the advantages we have over those other lines is the fact that it's open for view. If it's a really cool calendar, you're going to get people that come back to the credit union that you didn't give it out to before, and the credit union is going to be appreciative because they're getting the foot traffic of people that they never done business with before. So there's a lot of branches. It's almost like a web type of marketing strategy out there with calendars.
Okay. And we have several questions regarding some quick statistics, so I'll ask you those too. Is the calendar still the second most looked at thing in an office environment? I don't know if that's something that you would know off the top of your head, but perhaps you can address the office environment and calendars.
That has gone down, too. That's another one that I can't say exactly what it is. If I had to guess, though, guys, it'd probably be three or four. The PC is number one. That's been number one for quite a while. And the BlackBerry's PDAs have been number two. So that has fallen to electronics. I would be remiss if I didn't say it was number three because we're still talking about, on average, you're going to look at it 10 times per day. So.
Right. Well, that's how I have my computer, my phone, my smartphone, and my calendar. Those are my top three things. So I can personally attest to that. And then we have somebody asking the question of what's more popular when you're looking at a print calendar? Are you looking at a desktop or the ones that you hang on the wall that you flip through each month? Is there any sort of statistic you can say on what seems to work the best and what's the most popular in the print category?
Good questions. The appointment, the flip calendar, what everybody knows as the monthly calendar that hangs up on the wall, continues to be number one. I'll tell you guys, the most interesting trend lately has been, and I brought up with that delivery company that does a desk calendar, the little desk tent calendars have seen a huge increase. And one of the reasons why, more and more companies, I don't know if everybody out there is familiar with Six Sigma, but it's basically a strategy to become more lean, more efficient on the manufacturing floor. Well, that's coming over into the office, into the workplace, and a lot of these cubicle walls, you have to keep them clear so they won't allow you to put something, you know, like a calendar on the wall near the monitor, but you can have three, this sounds ridiculous, but you can have three personal items on your desk, and the tent calendar is one of them. So we've kind of seen a resurgence in the desk, the tent calendar for a number of reasons, that being one of them.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. And then for the folks who are going to hop off the line today and start selling tons of calendars, what is the deadline for putting orders in for 2013?
We actually at Norwood, and this I have mixed feelings on this, but we had to do what the customer wants, right? So we created what's called guaranteed inventory. We have over 90, I think it's 94 styles of guaranteed inventory calendars. We guarantee to have inventory through December 31st. Now, I say I have mixed feelings on that because it kind of promotes people to wait to the last second, but we're kind of in that world now. So now we have, really, it's our 90 best-selling styles are all available through December 31st.
And are samples available to distributors who want to sell calendars?
Absolutely. Yes. Anytime, guys, just like I said, if you want to shoot info@norwood.com an email, it'll get trickled down to your local sales rep or myself, and we'll be more than happy. We have sample sets for our different lines, and really it's still a touch and feel industry. Even with calendars, they have to see it. We have to be armed with something, so definitely let us know, and we'll help you out with samples as much as we can.
Great. I think that covers all of our questions for today. And I think we're just about out of time, so the timing is perfect. I wanted to thank you, Dustin. Fantastic information. Calendars are always a wildly popular topic, and we always get lots and lots of questions regarding that. If for some reason we did not touch upon your question, somebody from Norwood Big Graphic will reach out to you and answer your question for you. So it looks like we're just about out of time for today. But on behalf of Norwood and Big Graphic, North America, and Promo Marketing, I want to thank all of you for attending today's webinar. And be sure to check out our new live event page at magazine.promomarketing.com/webinar to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events. Looking forward to seeing you all at the next Promo Marketing webinar. Thank you so much.